You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Sarah Honiger.
And I'm Christy Landwehr, and you are listening to this special monthly NRHA episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for this Thursday, June 12th.
Good morning, horse world.
It's the second Thursday of the month. That means it's time to slide in to the National Reining Horse Association episode of Horses in the Morning.
In this National Reining Horse Association episode, we're going to listen in to hear Kim Uhlstetter chat about her journey as last year's NRHA Derby non-pro champion and find out more about how the Bob's Custom saddles that are awarded at this prestigious show are made. Listen in. Sarah, you are just recently getting back from a fabulous trip with the National Reining Horse Association youth officers to Washington, D.C. Can you tell us more about what that trip was all about?
Oh my gosh, I would love to. This is one of my favorite trips we do every year, and we could not do it without the help and partnership of the American Quarter Horse Association. It's actually their youth officers and leadership team and NRHYAs, and they train for weeks on issues that are affecting the equine industry. And then we all go to Washington, D.C., and they meet with folks to just talk about it on the Hill. And they actually had over 34 meetings with different senators and congressmen.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a crazy amount. And that's in 2 days. I mean, they are really, really hitting the pavement the second they get there. And our industry should just be so proud of the young people coming up in it. They are just stars.
You think about how many people that are citizens of the United States, first of all, have never been to D.C. Second of all, have definitely never gone up on the Hill to talk to any of our congressmen or congresswomen or anything, right? And yet here are the youth. And what did they range in age from?
Oh, gosh, 14 to 19.
And, awesome.
You know, some of them, this was their first time on a plane. And you think about, I don't know how old this survey is, but I remember hearing that most Americans' greatest fear is public speaking. And so you have kids that sometimes have never even been on a plane going to DC and having to speak to these senators, congressmen about issues that they really just became familiar with weeks ago. And I don't know very many adults that would have the confidence to do that. And they were in professional attire. They were so well-spoken. We received so much feedback that our youth were actually better prepared and looked more professional than some paid lobbyists. So that's awesome. Pretty exciting.
Yes, it is. Life-changing for these kids, though.
Yeah.
And just, they'll never forget.
They will not. And, you know, I just come back really proud of them. They come back and are such efficient, wonderful public speakers. They can get their points across, you know, their elevator pitch is on point. And just seeing them transform in 2 days, it's a really, really neat process. And I think it speaks to partnerships too, you know, being able to do this with AQHA. We were able to have a meeting with the USDA. And just really special, unique opportunities. And, you know, I think it's something to learn from too. We all just can grow together when we help each other.
I'll tell you, you mentioning the public speaking, though, I do want to continue on this youth track for a second. We do have a public speaking contest that's going on at our Derby here just next week for those that are listening. And it is sponsored by Cinch, which is really exciting. And that is actually going to take place on Friday the 20th. Can you tell us a little bit more about that contest?
Yeah, this contest is really a fun opportunity for scholarships. And there's two age categories, 13 and under and 14 to 18. And there's three different categories within those age groups. So whether they want to recite a general, whether they want to talk about a community service presentation, or just a prepared speech on any sort of topic, they can enter this. And I think the neatest thing about NRHYA that we don't talk about enough is that there is no minimum age of when they can start earning scholarships. So if there is a 10-year-old listening that wants to go and recite A General, they could potentially win a $700 scholarship and just keep stacking these scholarships until they get to college. So, you know, we often talk about our big scholarships, but stacking all these smaller ones and starting young, when the Reining Horse Foundation gives nearly $90,000 in scholarships a year, all of that can really add up and make such a large difference for families as youth start looking at college. So I would absolutely encourage youth to take a look. It's on our website. You could also email youth@nrha.com and join in on the fun.
And I'll tell you, with a mom right now of two children in college, yes to all scholarships that are possible.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, so you just got done with some traveling too, Christy.
I actually did. It was very exciting. We were at the National Reining Horse Association European Futurity in Cremona, Italy. And I had never been to Italy before, and I was able to go to the northern part. Cremona is right outside of Milan. And before the horse show started, I was able to see Venice and Lake Como and Parma, where Parmesan cheese is made. That was pretty awesome. And I was asked, do you like the 12-month better, the 24-age cheese better, or the 36-age cheese? And it was like a test, and I knew there was a right answer and a wrong answer. And I chose right. I actually said that I thought the 36 would be the best, and it tasted so good, and he was very excited. He thought my palate was very mature. So that was...
Your palate was mature. Well. The cheese and your palate were both mature.
That's right. That's right. So I brought home quite a bit of cheese, and we've been enjoying it ever since. But oh my gosh, the show was amazing. Andrea Fapani ended up being the champion of the Open and just had a fabulous run on his horse Haas that he actually brought in, owned by a Californian couple. And everybody was there to enjoy. They brought the horse in actually from the United States. And oh my gosh, the energy was so high that night. The Italians really know how to put on a party. The draw party had so much energy. The VIP lounge was amazing for both non-pro and Open finals. And it was just really good. So kudos to the team over in Cremona. You just knocked it out of the park.
That is so cool. Well, the videos just looked awesome. And, you know, I saw pictures of him signing autographs, and it really just seemed like a kind of storybook ending for that event. So it's so neat that you got to be there to see it.
We are so excited to have Garrett Morris on the show today. He started at Bob's Custom Saddles in August of 21. He's a tack collector at heart, collecting bits, spurs, bridles, and saddles from notable makers in the industry from past and present. He has been involved in the performance horse industry from a very early age, starting with reining and getting into cutting and cow horse. He's a jack of all trades at Bob's, from ordering the raw materials for the saddles, the silver orders and designs, and finishing the saddles that go out to their dealers and customers like us, because we have the non-pro and the Open championship saddles at our derby that is coming up, and we are so excited. Welcome to the show, Garrett.
Thank you so much for having me. It is an honor.
So, Garrett, before we dive into some of the details of the award saddles that we're going to be seeing at Derby, can you please tell us about the history of Bob's Custom Saddles and how you personally got involved with them?
Absolutely. You know, Bob's Custom Saddles has been around since 1977, started by Bob Haley. And it's just been one of those brands to me that was always kind of the pinnacle of a saddle that you look for and that you wanted, especially when I started very early on. I'm 37 now. I started off in the, you know, performance horse industry when, you know, probably getting into it around 10 years old. And it was always that, oh man, I've got to get a Bob saddle. I've got to get a Bob saddle. That was just kind of always the, you know, kind of my Everest that I had to get to. And my first Bob saddle, I actually won with the NRCHA when I won a world title back in 2008, and that was my first Bob saddle, and that's kind of what
good for you. That's awesome.
And I'm actually sitting there looking at my saddle right now. It's sitting in front of my in front of my desk. So it is something that I get to look at, and you know, a lot of good memories with that one. But it was my first Bob saddle, and I got you know, kind of my first Bob's Rainer, you know, shortly after that, you know, picked it up used, and just kind of started, you know, that kind of started the long history of it. And then I got into the Bob's in 2021 when I was looking for a different career. Before this, I was in the restaurant industry, and I just, I was in there for about almost 7 years total. And I just surprised I lasted that long, and was looking for a change of pace and something I was a little bit more familiar with. And this came about, and it's been a great decision on my end to do that.
That is awesome. So yeah. Why is it called Bob's? Tell us a little bit more of the history of the company itself.
Yeah. So, you know, when Bob Haley started it back in 1977, you know, he started with a couple saddle makers, you know, the Rios brothers. And, you know, he started the shop that they were working out of was over here in Phoenix, Arizona. And he was, you know, making, you know, we've got all of our records, all of our saddle orders, we have going back to the very first one. So we have all that stuff that we can fall back on or rely on. And, you know, and then as the company grew and evolved and got more popular, Bob sought out to fit horse and rider when it came to the saddle. He was trying to put everybody in what we call, you know, the winning position is what we've always called it. And so he was trying to fit horse and rider is what his ultimate goal was. And he would take the raw trees, and he would, you know, take a grinder and a rasp, and he would, you know, shape the bars that he wanted to shape them. And so he worked very, very closely with the products, you know, with the people that make our products to find the best sources to make the highest quality product in the industry. Everything from our leather to our tree manufacturer that we've used from almost the beginning, and then just down to the designs, to the functionality of each and every part on that saddle, to give everybody kind of that advantage when it comes to riding. You know, whether you're just beginning or you're a, you know, $9 million Andrea Fapani that, you know, that has done this his whole career, you know, we try to cover every base for everybody.
Well, that attention to detail certainly shows, and it makes us so proud to have Bob's Custom Saddles as an NRHA corporate partner. And you all actually create our NRHA Derby and non-pro saddles that we award, and
yes,
you collaborate with another partner of ours, Montana Silversmiths, to create these. So can you tell us a little bit more about what makes these saddles so unique? And I mean, for those of us who've seen them in person, they are stunning.
Thank you. We have over the past year, we, you know, here in the office, me and the rest of my team, Gabby and Jameson, we've really kind of got to have some creative input on these saddles. And with Montana Silversmiths, they've been super, super great to work with. And they send us obviously beautiful silver. Everything's from the, you know, from the rear Ds, breast collar Ds, conchos, and then the buckles that you see on the housings. And then, you know, it kind of makes us elevate our game on how we need to make these saddles look. And so, you know, with the look of them this year, you know, we did some different tooling. We did some different, you know, kind of a different look to them overall, just to try to elevate that standard. You know, I mean, you look at a longstanding, you know, legacy like Montana Silversmith that puts out the best quality products in the industry, you know, no matter what it is. And it makes you elevate and have to step up your game to match that. And so that's kind of where we are very lucky. And to be able to present these saddles, you know, at such a prestigious event like the NRHA Derby, it's an honor for us, you know, to the person that worked, you know, tirelessly for, you know, countless hours and days to get to this point. You know, it's an honor for us.
We're going to have the saddles proudly displayed right outside of the show office and the vendor center in the Bennett Event Center. So for anyone that's going to be at the event, please come on over and check that out. It's going to be amazing. So Garrett, Bob's does and creates many Western saddles for a variety of disciplines besides reining. Mm-hmm. Can you please tell us the other types of saddles that you create for the Western industry?
You know, we make it all. We do everything from, you know, from a silver Western pleasure saddle all the way up to a mounted shooting saddle, barrel racing saddle, team roping. You know, we're still in the developmental phase of our cutting saddle. We're still trying to, you know, we're listening to all the riders in that industry, trying to, get their input to make sure that we're trying to get these as close to what everybody wants. You know, when you've got so many different people and so many different custom options, gets a little difficult at times, to nail that one feel that people are looking for. So you're trying to appeal to the masses, not just one person. But we are, you know, lucky to be able to have our hand in, you know, many different industries, you know, in the cow horse and the everyday pleasure rider, just, you know, down that wants to go on a trail ride. It doesn't matter what the person wants to do. We can make a saddle for what you're wanting to do, from a trail ride all the way to the NRHA Futurity.
Well, speaking of the Futurity, earlier you spoke about, you know, the winning position and some of the reiners that use Bob's, but what is it specifically do you think that makes Bob's custom saddle so alluring to our reiners specifically?
You know, it's kind of a loaded question that I've been asked before, and I wish there was a simple answer, but it's kind of a few different things. It comes down to just the, you know, how the tree and how the saddle fits on a horse. You know, if you've got an unhappy horse, you're not going to have a fun ride, you know, and you're not going to be able to be productive, and you're not going to be able to get anything done. And then it has to feel good to you. When you start getting into our world of custom, you have so many different options, down to, you know, the seat style, down to the padding, whether it's a regular, narrow cut seat or just a regular width seat. I mean, there's so many different options that come into play, and everyone's got their own preference. You know, I mean, you've got everybody from Gabby that works here with me in the office. She prefers a hard seat on her saddle. I prefer, you know, double pad, you know, whatever it might be. Everyone's got their own preference, but we can accommodate those custom options for each and every rider. And so when we try to, you know, when we try to get somebody fit in what they're looking for in a saddle, we always encourage everybody to go out there and do your homework, do your research, and touch and feel as many different of these saddles as possible. You know, whether you're sitting in them or you've got a trainer that rides in one of them, each one of them has a saddle number, you know, that's unique to that saddle. And we can look back and figure out what you liked about it. And we can kind of dive into the blueprint of it and figure out what you like, what you don't like. And, you know, not to go off on a long answer, but it's just a combination of a lot of different things. You know, whether you like to ride with a higher rising seat, you know, because you feel like you're getting kicked forward and you want something that pushes you back, or, you know, where we try to accommodate everybody's riding style, you know, from the person that's just learning how to ride and, you know, to the pro. You know, the Bob Avila model has been one of our most popular models, for many, many, many years. And because it fits a wide variety, that tree in particular fits a wide variety of horses. But the specs on that saddle fit so many different versatile riders. And so it's been a great saddle for us, along with our Lady Rainer model. And don't let the Lady Rainer part fool you, because we have, you know, gentlemen that ride in that one too. But the Lady Rainer model, you know, is designed to reduce the bulk underneath your leg for closer contact with you and your horse, all the way down to the seat padding. It's got a narrow padded seat. So, you know, you're getting down in closest contact possible with your horse. That way you can have that best ride possible and keep you in that position, to get the advantage, to learn. You know, you don't want to be fighting yourself when you're riding your horse to, you know, if you're fighting against yourself, you're being counterproductive.
That is so true. So, Garrett, what are some exciting things that are coming up in the future for Bob's custom saddles that you would like to share with our listeners?
You know, we're just working on developing, you know, kind of some, we've got some new silver designs that we're kind of do, you know, that we work on. And that has been a lot of fun from a creative standpoint. On my end, I'm an artist at heart. And it has been fun to be able to have that creative outlet. And then I'm just lucky that I have one of the best, we have one of the best silversmiths in the industry that is able to put our dreams into reality. And so we've got some fun, some new fun stuff that'll be coming up for the Run for a Million this year for the saddles that we're proudly presenting there, being the official saddle sponsor for that event. And then we are just working diligently on trying to put out the best product possible with each and every saddle that comes out of our doors. That is what we strive for every day. And, you know, we're just trying to, you know, trying to get our name out there a little bit more as far as, you know, we still get phone calls every day of people that, you know, have not heard of us. You know, they've, you know, hey, I have a friend that rode one of your, or has one of your saddles and I rode in it and I didn't know much about it. Can you tell me more? And, you know, so it is long of a product as we've had in business. It's still fun to get people calling in that don't know about our product and that we get to kind of educate a little bit, and help them look for their next saddle, you know, whether they're looking for a used one or a brand new one, it doesn't matter. You know, we appreciate every single one of our customers, that take their hard earned money to ride our product. And we are, you know, we're proud to be in, you know, represented in 13 different countries, roughly with some of our dealers all the way from, Israel to Australia, France, Italy, Canada. You know, we're worldwide and we're very, you know, very proud of that.
Well, Garrett, I have learned so much today. I thought I knew a lot about Bob's, having, you know, worked with you all over these years, but I've learned so much. And I know our listeners have as well and would want to know more. So what is the best way for them to get in contact with you guys and continue learning more about Bob's?
They're more than welcome to reach out to us through our website, bobscustomsaddles.com. If they contact us through the email address through our website, it comes directly to myself and Gabby, who I work with 6 feet away. And we, you know, the emails come directly to both of us and we monitor those emails. You know, we're a small office, you know, that does a lot of big things. You know, her and I, we've got our hands full for sure. And, you know, trying to monitor, you know, dealers and customers and whatnot and the day-to-day operations, but they're more than welcome to call in as well. You know, if they have any questions, it doesn't matter what it is. There's no dumb questions in this industry. You can call in with, you know, we love to help and educate, and try to find people their right saddle, to get them on their next venture. Like I said, if you're just wanting to get into, we had a lady that contacted us. She was, you know, it was her lifelong dream to start riding a horse and she was in her 60s and she was looking at one of our saddles to start that venture with. So, you know, it doesn't matter what stage you're at, we're here to help.
Well, Garrett, working myself with the corporate partners of NRHA, it is such a pleasure to work with Bob's and to just continue to grow and expand our relationship. And always, the saddles are so amazing at not only our Derby that's taking place right now, but also our Futurity that, of course, will take place in November, December this year. So
yes, ma'am.
Thank you again for being on the show today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was an honor. Thank you for having given me the ability to do this. It has been a great honor. I do appreciate it.
So, Sarah, I was so excited. I got to go actually to Bob's Custom Saddles a couple of times when I've been in Arizona. And they are, of course, in that whole Scottsdale area where we have a lot of our Rainers. So it was just a phenomenal shop. And like Garrett said, it is small. They get so much done with such a small group of staff. And it kind of reminds me of NRHA, right? Mm-hmm. We get a lot done with such a small group of staff. And they're just a really kind of family atmosphere in their shop.
Tiny but mighty, it sounds like.
Yes, very but so. So it was such a pleasure to have him on. And now I'm so excited to hear what Kim has to say as one of our past champions of the non-pro.
After a thrilling runoff, Kim Uhlsetter became the 2025 NRBC Level 4 Non-Pro Classic Champion. Kim and her horse Aspen were also the 2024 Four Sixes NRHA Derby presented by Markel Non-Pro Derby Champions. And they have earned over $160,000 together. Kim is an NRHA million-dollar owner and lives in Scottsdale with her husband, an NRHA professional, Martin Uhlsetter. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
So Kim, you and Aspen clearly have such a strong connection, and now you have won two major events together. Can you tell us a little bit about what that feels like? It has to be just such an exciting time together.
It really is. You know, I think it takes a very special horse to have the ability to take you to the top at a major event. But to have one that can do it twice is something really unique. This one, he's just one. He'll be so hard to replace. Mm-hmm. I really am not looking forward to the day that I need to sell him, but I know it always comes. And he's just really one in a million. And this horse, I just feel like he's always fit me like a glove from the first day I started riding him.
I have a question before we kind of forge on here. How did you come up with his name, Aspen, for his barn name?
He actually had that name when we got him.
Okay.
He was actually in Gunny Matheson's pasture, and my husband found him as a yearling, and he came with that name. So I'm a little superstitious, so I believe if you ever change a name, it's bad luck. So we just roll with whatever they have.
I love that. I live here in Colorado, and we have aspen all around us. And this weekend, we went on a hike, and we're surrounded by aspen. So I was just thinking, wow, that's a beautiful name. I like
that. They are beautiful. So, and it just fits him. It's very unique.
So you had a runoff against another million-dollar non-pro, Jessica Keller. What was the energy like heading into that, and what was your strategy?
The energy was great. I think having the crowd support always makes it so fun to run through the gates. You know, you feel like every maneuver when they're there cheering for you, it just makes you push that much harder to make it happen. I'd just say my strategy was to stay penalty free, because in the first run that I had in the finals, my horse was really good and I had a 1 point underspin on my left turn, and it was 100% pilot error. It could have been prevented, but I didn't do it. And I felt bad for my horse that I got in his way. So I just really wanted to go out there and show what he could be without the rider getting in his way. So that was my strategy. And really, he nailed every maneuver out there the second time we, you know, did the runoff. And I almost felt like he showed better for me that second time out. But that's the kind of horse he is. He just has gotten so consistent. I'd say about halfway through his four-year-old year, he's just really come into his own and been the Mr. Steady Eddie. Like, I feel like when I warm him up, I can just get in and get out. And he's been very, very easy to prepare.
Well, Kim, we're heading into NRHA Derby, and I keep calling him Aspen because I just think it's so cute, but his registered name, for those wanting to know, is Smoky Mountain Rain. So what is your plan with him? Is he coming to the Derby? Do you have a different game plan going into this event after having just finished such a successful NRBC? Kind of walk us through that, if you don't mind.
Yes, I will be showing him at the Derby this year. You know, it's a little bit nerve-wracking, I think, showing one that you tied to win it on last year and then just won the NRBC. But I always get a little more nervous showing a great one than I do an average horse. I don't know why, but it's always been that way. But my plan is to just prepare him the same I have for the last few events. It seemed to have worked, so I'm going to stick with my game plan. You know, I try not to overdo things when I first get there. I know at the Derby this year, they run the open prelims first. So I just try to keep him legged up and don't really harp on him on the maneuvers too much and run out of horse. He just feels like he's now at the point in his career where he stays pretty steady, and I can just do things one time. And if he's good, I try to quit there and just quit on a positive note with him still being somewhat fresh, to I don't run out of horse if we do make the finals. So that's really our plan going into it, and just to keep him healthy and happy, and hopefully it works out.
It'll be so great to see both you and Aspen at the Derby, but you also, your husband and your daughter compete as well. So can you tell us some of the more special memories that you guys have had together and what it means to compete as a family?
Yeah, absolutely. We have so much fun going down the road, the three of us together, and Martin and I were really excited when Sydney decided to take up the reining also. You know, when she was younger, we got her a horse. We actually got her one from Tom and Mandy McCutcheon that Carly McCutcheon had learned to ride on. And Mandy actually had to convince me to buy him because I said, I don't know if we want to get into this. I didn't know if Sydney was really going to have her heart in it or not. And I really think that horse helped her love the reining because he was just so good-minded and kind and just great with children. And he just was really an angel, never did anything wrong. So I think that really helped her develop a love for it. And now with the three of us going down the road, I mean, I guess I'll always remember when Martin won the level four NRBC. That was in 2014 on blue collar tag. And Sydney was, I guess she would have been three back then. And now, yeah, she's showing now a lot of times in the ancillary pen. And this is the first year she has her own Derby horse and actually has a three-year-old this year too. So it's a lot of fun. You know, I remember at the Futurity last year, I was taking the scooter and running back between the Attaquan and the Norick Arena, watching Martin show in the prelims and watching Sydney show her mare down there. I remember being exhausted by the end of the day, like emotionally, but it's so worth it. I mean, we really have fun together.
Well, that's so exciting that she'll have a Derby horse there. And now you'll have even more stress as you're watching everyone.
Exactly. She's actually not showing him at the Derby this year, but she'll be going to, you know, other shows throughout the year. So, but it's, yeah, I get super nervous. I don't know why. I always get more nervous when Martin and Sydney show than when I show myself. So that's the hardest part. And you feel like you're out of control. Not that I would do it any better, but I think it's just being a mother.
Absolutely. Well, Kim, you obviously have had such success in the show pen, and we have so many listeners here who might be thinking of trying reining for the first time. So what is your biggest piece of advice that you would give another non-professional who wants to dip their toes into reining?
I'd say the first and most important thing is start with finding the right trainer that, you know, fits you and fits your ability. I think finding the right fit with a trainer is going to help you find the right horse. You know, I think a lot of non-pros struggle with finding the right horse that fits their ability. You know, I think you can watch the open class and appreciate a lot of those great horses, but it's not necessarily the one that marks the highest is the one that's going to fit you the best and going to be the one that you mark the highest. So I think it's just finding that individual horse that suits your riding ability and make sure the two of you mesh. And I think just take it from there. You know, you need to decide at what level you want to start at, if you want to just start locally or what your goals are. And I think it's really, really important to have an open line of communication with your trainer. And finally, I mean, I think you just got to put your whole heart in it. It's really, nothing comes easy, especially in this sport. And there's a lot of ups and downs. When you think you're on top and then you struggle, you can't make the finals for a while and you think I can never do this. And then you work your butt off and then you're back up again. And it's just really a roller coaster ride. But that's what I love about the reining is it's always such a challenge. You know, even the times that I have won, come out on top and I come out of the pen and I'm watching my run on video and there's probably a minimum of five things I would change on that run, just trying to make it better. And I feel like you never have it perfected, but that's what I think the beauty is of the sport. And that's what got me so hooked on it.
Well, I love that advice so much. And I know people are going to want to know more about reining and want to know more about you and Martin's program. So what is the best way that they could reach out to you all? And for those in Scottsdale, maybe they might want to go take it for a spin for the first time.
Oh, absolutely. You know, anyone could call Martin anytime. His number is 480-686-2919. Or, you know, they could message us on Facebook. We've got, you know, our Mule Stutter Performance Horse website, and they can reach out to us that way. We've always got good horses for sale, you know, everything from open horses, non-pro horses. And if we don't have the fit, you know, Martin might be able to help you find what you're looking for through someone else too, or a different part of the country.
That's so exciting for you and Martin and Sydney to be at the Derby together. And we can't wait to see you guys. And we so appreciate you taking the time to chat with us this morning. And we'll see you so soon.
Great. Thanks for having me.
I loved having Kim on, and I just keep ruminating on her statement of, just because that horse marked the highest in the show pen does not mean it will with you. And I just think that is so insightful, regardless of whatever industry you're in.
That is huge. You just never know, do you? And that's why us horse people are kind of considered crazy by other people that do different sports, because, you know, your motorcycle doesn't have an opinion and doesn't have a bad day, and your horse might, or you might. I mean, it's amazing how two individual creatures, a human and a horse, can get together and do this amazing thing called reining with such precision when the scores are so close. It's an amazing sport.
It really, really is. And to her point, you know, finding a professional can be so important, and whether maybe they have a horse to match with you, whether or not they do, they all obviously have such a strong network and can get you, you know, with the right professional to meet whatever your goals are and to maybe find you the horse you need and all of those things. And the best way to get started with that journey is to visit nrha.com/findapro. And you can narrow it down by state or even by city, and go ahead and get started with your reining journey.
So to find out more about our podcast too, we've been doing this now for a little bit, and I can't help but say I'm pretty happy that we won the American Horse Publications podcast this year for the one that we did with Casey O'Rourke when she won our Futurity last year. And it was just so much fun to have that show win. And thank you to AHP for representing those of us in media, in the horse industry, and doing that fantastic award ceremony that you do every year.
So until next time, everyone, go out and have the slide of your life.